Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. I'm Wayne Zell. Today's show will include a special guest, but that doesn't start until about 10:15. In the first half of the show, we're going to talk about representations and warranties insurance, something that's important when you're engaging in buying or selling a business. Before we get to that, let me tell you a little bit about our sponsor, Odin Feldman & Pittleman, full-service law firm located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, which includes articles, videos, and audio, including some old radio shows, of interest to you in topics describing tax, estate planning, and business planning issues. And lastly, I invite you to read my column in the Washington Business Journal every month entitled Blueprint for Wealth. As I mentioned, today we're going to talk about representations and warranties insurance. Now, whenever you sell a business, the seller is required by the buyer to give certain representations and warranties regarding the business that he or she or it is selling. Representations regarding the financial condition of the business. Representations and warranties regarding inventories or land that it owns or real estate that it's leasing. About the equipment that it's using in the business. And these representations are important to the buyer so that the buyer is comfortable buying the business. Representations and warranties insurance, or known as the indemnity outside the United States, has been available to insurance buying consumers for at least 15 years. The coverage has undergone many changes over this time, and some of the more recent changes have been fairly dramatic. But historically, people who do deals, mergers and acquisitions, and insurance brokers dismissed rep and warranty coverage as coverage with little practical application and a really high cost. In fact, some people still look at it that way. Insurance buyers have even had less to say, as they've been relatively unaware of its availability, or they've seen that this is the type of insurance that is sort of last resort and it might help resuscitate an otherwise flawed transaction. Now, much of this perception has been filtered through brokers who seem to shy away from this type of insurance even when they're discussing the topic, mainly because they're not familiar with how it works and the processes used to obtain reps and warranties insurance. In many ways, the development and acceptance of rep and warranty coverage is similar to what has happened in the employment practices liability insurance industry. EPL coverage is now pretty basic and standard and is considered by businesses to be a staple insurance product that you need to buy. But when it first came to the market, it was viewed with a jaundiced eye, mostly due to the lack of familiarity with the product by both buyers and sellers. Now, today, it's understood that employers typically use this type of insurance to protect them against the usual risk of operating. Similarly, rep and warranty coverage has developed to a point that is very similar to EP&L. It's not as universally accepted as employers' practices insurance, but the development of rep and warranty coverage has reached a point of stability so that it's being used more frequently and in certain circumstances. There's stability in pricing and how it's being used and the scope of the coverage that you can get. There is even stability and even growth of participation by the insurance companies in this type of product. Since the first policies appeared in the late 1990s and the early 2000s, the development of the product has been helped along by claims development, which opens the door to new underwriters, people who are willing to underwrite the risks, and a steady marketing effort by insurers who introduce the product to the brokerage community, people who sell the product to the consumer or to the seller usually is the one buying the type of coverage, particularly those who focus on mergers and acquisitions and diligence in connection with the purchase and sale of a business. While it's still looked at as a tool that was developed for private equity buyers, people who are not strategic buyers, who may not be as familiar with the business as a strategic buyer, the interest and use of rep and warranty insurance has filtered into the larger brokerage community. Now, how does rep and warranty insurance work? What's covered? Well, basically, the primary purpose of a rep and warranty policy is to provide protection to the buyer for unintentional but proven breaches of the seller's reps and warranties in the purchase agreement. It's important to emphasize this point at the onset of discussing rep and warranty insurance coverage, because historically, the coverage was mistakenly interpreted to extend to other areas of the purchase agreement, including covenants like non-compete covenants. In fact, claims that have been put in by policyholders have been denied solely on the basis that the claim was worded as a breach of a covenant and not a rep and a warranty. And what's the difference? A rep is saying, I represent, I warrant that my business is X, Y, or Z, that the financial condition is sound, that the financial statements are true and accurate, etc. A covenant says, I promise not to do something, or I promise to do something in the future. And again, this type of insurance is really built for the reps and warranty coverage and not for covenants. Also, important to note is that rep and warranty insurance policies generally only cover breaches of representations made at the time of the closing of the transaction. In other words, the policy is a snapshot in time. For a claim to be covered, the representation that is going to be covered by the policy has to have been unintentionally breached at the time of the closing of the deal. If post-closing facts or circumstances cause a breach, that's not going to be covered. Also, the breach must be unknown to the seller at the time of closing, which means that any prior knowledge of this breach or potential breach will not be covered. This might include items contained in a disclosure schedule that's usually attached to the merger and acquisition agreement, or known environmental conditions like a leaking underground storage tank, or ongoing tax audits that weren't disclosed in terms of the disclosures that are required to be made to the buyer. Now, a rep and warranty policy serves both the needs of a buyer and a seller. Both sides want the transaction to close, but the underlying issues that each side is looking to address in closing may differ greatly. What does the buyer want? Well, the buyer is looking for time or money or both, meaning that the most frequent use of these types of policies for the buyer is an extension of the indemnification, the promise to protect the buyer from liability that occurred prior to closing or for acts taken prior to closing that is offered by the seller. This extension might be in the form of monetary, in terms of limits above a escrow that is being set aside at the time of closing, or it might be related to the time over which the protection is offered. So in other words, it might go beyond the expiration of the statute of limitations or the period that the indemnification is specifically covering, such as 1 year or 2 years or 3 years in the contract, or some combination of both. The seller, what does the seller want? Well, the seller wants out. The seller wants to sell the business, keep the proceeds, and walk away. Sellers buy rep and warranty insurance policies to exit their investment in the business cleanly and quickly. The strategy is applicable to almost any seller. An entrepreneur who wants to exit his or her business cleanly to ensure his heirs' security or to use disbursement funds to pay off shareholders, enter into another venture, or simply for peace of mind may want this type of insurance. A financial sponsor owner may wish to exit quickly and cleanly to pay off its investors more quickly, protect against the possibility of clawbacks to limited investors, or to help secure the closing of the fund in general. A rep and warranty policy can be purchased by either the buyer or the seller to the benefit of and without any detriment to the other party. The decision is usually made based upon the parties to the transaction and their needs. As I mentioned, oftentimes private equity investors and private equity buyers will look to reps and warranties insurance to help protect them against any potential loss resulting from breaches of the seller's reps and warranties. The buyer may make the decision to purchase coverage for the seller or vice versa. It may be an adjustment to the purchase price overall. When making the decision as to what to buy and whether to buy it, the type of policy purchased matters. There are two policy forms, a buy-side policy and a sell-side policy. The buy-side policy is a policy that is written on a first-party form. What that means is that the insured, the buyer, can make a claim directly against the policy for a breach of the seller's representations and warranties. This expedites the process of financial indemnification for a covered breach. Often, the insurer may seek subrogation against the seller of the target after a claim has been paid. On the sell side, the policy is written as third-party coverage. Advancement of defense costs may be provided, and there usually is an exclusion for fraud. In any event, if you'd like to know more about mergers and acquisitions or reps and warranties insurance coverage, give us a call at 703-218-2100, and one of our many corporate lawyers who work in the M&A area will be happy to answer your questions. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.